You're listening to an audio sermon from Trinity Bible Chapel. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybiblechapel.ca.
Isaiah chapter 41, that's where we're going to be, 1 to 20. And we're going to be looking at why we are not to fear. That's what we're going to be looking at. You know, we do live in a world where it's very easy to be afraid. And I think everything that's going on right now has really exacerbated that. People are afraid that they'll lose their jobs. People are afraid that they'll not be able to take care of their families. People are afraid that they'll get in trouble for visiting someone, staying too long in someone's parking or driveway. People are absolutely terrified that they're going to get sick right now. Some of us are even afraid of the consequences just for meeting together for church. And we look around in an era that is saturated with media explaining every single reason and every single detail why we should be terrified, I think it's important that we actually take our focus away from the things that might be making us afraid and focus instead upon our Savior Jesus Christ, our awesome Lord. I think it is so easy. It is so easy, and I do this all the time, to just complain and to talk about, well, the government's doing this. What's happening here? What's going on here? But you want to know something? We need to focus away from that and get ourselves focused on the Lord so that we can do what is right and we can truly not be afraid. The Bible tells us to fear not. It's an actual command. In fact, the only thing that we are told to fear is the Lord himself. That is the beginning of wisdom. There are very good reasons why we are not to fear our circumstances, and we're going to look at five of them today in Isaiah chapter 41. I know some of you are thinking, five-point sermon, and we're sitting in our car. Don't worry. It's going to go fast, I promise. But these are very important. They're very important reasons why we can look and focus on the Lord instead of focusing on ourselves and our circumstances, and we can truly follow the command that says, do not fear. The Lord is in control. That's the first thing we're going to see. The Lord is in control. The second thing we're going to see is that the Lord has chosen us. The third thing we're going to see is that he is with us and will strengthen us. The fourth thing is that the Lord actually transforms us in order to meet whatever task he is going to give us. And finally, we're going to see that the Lord does sustain us. So Isaiah 41, that's where we are. I'm going to read 1 to 20 and then I'll pray. So follow along with me in your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 1 says this. Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach. Let them speak. Let us together draw near for judgment. Who stirred up the one from the east whom victory meets at every step? He gives up nations before him so that he tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them and passes on safely by paths his feet have not trod. Who has performed and done this? Calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and come. Everyone helps his neighbor and says to his brother, be strong. The craftsman strengthens the goldsmith, and he who smooths with hammer, him who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, it is good. And they strengthen it with nails so that it cannot be moved. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham and my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I'm the one who helps you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I make you a threshing sledge, new, sharp, and having teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and crush them. You shall make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the tempest shall scatter them, and you shall rejoice in the Lord. In the Holy One of Israel you shall glory. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the Lord of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open up rivers of the bare heights and fountains of the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land the springs of water. I will put the wilderness, the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, and the olive. I will set in the desert the cypress, the plane, and the pine together, that they may see and know, may consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. Amen. That is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Father, we ask that you would help us to fear not. That is the command. And we know that if we focus on you, we will be able to follow that command, and we will trust in you and your faithfulness. I pray for those that are listening right now and watching right now who are not saved, who have not called upon the name of the Lord. I pray that you would save them even today. Help us to have a fresh understanding of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we come to this text, the first reason that we see to not be afraid, remember what we're talking about today is, why are we not to fear? Why have we no reason to fear at all? Well, the first reason that we find that we are not to be afraid is the Lord is in control. He is in complete control of everything. Look at verse 1. It says this, "Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach. Let them speak. Let us together draw near for judgment." What we have here is the picture of people coming together to court. It's a testimony. It's like a courtroom where they're going to say, we're going to bring out the witnesses and we're going to see the answer to the following question. In other words, it's saying, listen up, listen up. And we have some questions here. First one is found in verse 2. Who has stirred up from the one from the east whom victory meets at every step? He gives up nations before him so that he tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them and passes on safely by paths his feet have not trod. So here we have a picture of someone that is ravaging the land, a conqueror, a king, who is going and no one can stop him. It says that he gives up nations before him so that he tramples kings underfoot. Kings are made as dust. And the question being asked is, who has performed this? Who has done this? What is the cause of this happening? And the answer that is given is not the military genius who's coming forth and destroying enemies. That is not the answer, no. It is not this. Look at verse 4. It says, who has performed and done this, calling generations from the beginning? And here's the answer. I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. See, the Lord is the cause of this. But by looking at it from where we stand, we look at it and we say, well, I don't know about that, because it looks to be this military commander that's just going through with his armies and wiping people out. But no, what is happening here is the Lord is saying, I am control. I have performed this. It may not look like it, but I am in complete control of every situation. We must understand that the Lord is sovereign over all circumstances. Then it goes on to say how even though the Lord is sovereign, what happens when people see this is most of the time they're not even going to turn to the Lord. No, they see what's happening. What do? They turn to idols. And that's what it says here. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. Then it talks about how the craftsman strengthens the goldsmith, and he who smooths with a hammer, him who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, it is good, saying of what they create with their hands, this is good, this is who we must trust. Isn't that the case when things happen, and instead of looking at the Lord and saying, God, you are sovereign, we look to the things we have built and say, no, you are sovereign, and it is wrong. But when we look at this and we see, yes, as we focus on the Lord and he is in control of all things, we know that he is the first mover. He is the one that has performed this. If you turn over to Isaiah 45, you'll see in Isaiah 45, we have a prophecy that uses Cyrus's name, King Cyrus the Great, centuries before he's born. And here the Lord states that he will use Cyrus for his people. It's actually called the Anointed, in Hebrew, the Messiah. Note verse 5 and 6, this is what it says, 45, 5 and 6. I am the Lord and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, talking of Cyrus, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, there is no other. So here in Isaiah 41, we say there's this king that's ravaging the land, but no, the Lord's in control. And now we have, there's going to be a king, and I am anointing, pointing him right now to free my people so that everyone would know that I am the Lord and there is no other. The Lord is in control. So, what is the response of a Christian when he looks around and sees a storm? Well, we know the creator of the storm. We know who's in control. He has promised good for us. Nothing happens, nothing apart from his holy will. That's what God's sovereignty means. And this is comforting. This leads to faith in a God, because faith in God is opposite of fear in the world. We know that he has promised that there is a purpose for everything that he has done. So even in the midst of a storm that we find ourselves on, church, I want you to focus away from the storm, and I want you to focus on our Creator, on the Lord God Almighty, who is in complete control of this situation. Complete control. Be comforted that the Lord is in control. He is sovereign over all things, and you do not need to fear. But it's more than just that he's in control, because if he's in control and he's not for us, then what good is that? But no, if you are in Christ, then he chose you. He chose you. Look at verse 8. It says this, "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corner, saying to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off." You see, God chose Israel. He actually called Abraham and made a covenant with him and his descendants, having a special relationship with this one family. He chose them. The nation of Israel was chosen. Do we understand what this is saying? It's amazing. The Lord God Almighty, who we just saw, is completely sovereign over all things. The Lord God Almighty, who made the heavens and the earth with just his word, who caused the seas to roar and who flooded the earth, who actively holds the universe together, he chose this one family to form a special relationship with and by which he would bless the entire world. It really is amazing. And despite everything here, at the end of this section, it says, "And I will not cast you off." You see, the true Israel, those that are true, who have been circumcised in the heart, he will hold and not cast off forever. And again, this motif of being chosen is picked up in the New Testament and all through the Bible. We have done nothing to be chosen by God, but God has chosen us because he loves us. It's amazing. Peter, talking of the church, says in 1 Peter 2:9, "We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." We are chosen by God, and this is huge. Not because of anything that we did, but because he loved us. So no matter the circumstance we find ourselves in, we are not to fear. Why? Well, we have a sovereign God who is so powerful, yet who loves us so much that he chose us. He loves us. He has not cast us aside. This brings comfort. This brings courage. But if you are here today and you do not believe in Jesus, then right now you cannot say that I have been chosen by God. And you want to know, have I been chosen by God? I hope you're asking yourself that question. One of the ways to know that is to believe in Jesus. Turn to him. Believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin. Put your faith in him. Make him Lord of your life. And if you carry on to the end, then yes, you are one of the elect. You have been chosen. It is true. I pray that you would do that. Turn to Jesus today. Be the best decision you've ever made. And then truly, you have reason to fear not. See, we are a chosen people. And that also has implications, as we'll see. Because not only are we chosen by a sovereign God who is in complete control, he hasn't then chosen us, set us on a shelf, and then left us to our own devices. No, he is with us. Look at verse 10. So the reasons why we don't fear are that he is sovereign, he is in control, he has chosen us, and now he is with us. Verse 10 says this, "Fear not," there's the command, "we are not to fear. No matter the circumstance, we are to trust and not fear." But then it gives the ground, it gives the reason for why we're not to fear. It says this, "For," and every time you see that word "for" and you're studying your Bible, you're going to say, all right, whatever came right before that, this is the reason for it. So it says, "For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Again, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." So we progress in our reasons not to fear. The sovereign God who's in control of anyone, who has chosen his elect, is with you. That's amazing. Wow. He's with us. He's our God. But having God with us means something. It goes on to say this: I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Having God with us means that he will strengthen us. So don't be afraid. We have his help, so don't be afraid. This is amazing. Focus on our Savior. The right hand, he says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The right hand is the hand of power in the Old Testament. To be upheld by his righteous right hand means that we are upheld by his strength. And then this is paired with the beginning of verse 13. So look at that, where it says this: for I, the Lord, hold your right hand. So we see here that God's strength, his righteous right hand, is actually strengthening our strength. And then our power is made strong by God. And then we can fight any battle knowing that God is with us and he is strengthening us. Then it goes on and it finishes in verse 13. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. God is with us. Do not fear, no matter the circumstances. He is with us. This is amazing. Focus on God. Get your eyes off the storm and focus on the Lord. He is with us. In 2 Kings 6, Elisha, the prophet, was in a city surrounded by the enemy. His servant is running around like a chicken with his head cut off because he's terrified. And he's going to Elisha, who is calmly just sitting there, and saying, what are you doing? Do you not see what's happening out there? What does Elijah say to his servant? He says this: do not be afraid. There it is again. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, Elisha knew that the Lord was with him. And even though there was an army surrounding him, he wasn't afraid because he saw that the Lord was with him. And that is my prayer for you, and that's my prayer for me. That even in the midst of storms, no matter what storm that light, no matter what way that storm will manifest itself, that you will be able to focus on our Savior and know that he who is with us is greater than them. So the main application today, I hope you're getting it, is to not fear. We're not to be afraid. Maybe you'll be called to do what is right instead of what is easy. Maybe at work you'll need to take a stand instead of signing something that you don't agree with or attending and thus legitimizing workshops on positions that are against Christ's law. There are so many ways right now that we can take the easy way instead of the right way. And what we're learning today is that we are not to fear. We are to take the right and not to fear. Why? Because God is with us. Keep advocating for the opening of the church and fear not, because God is with us. We've been strengthened by God. That doesn't mean that you personally or myself personally will have nothing bad happen to us ever again, no. But what it does mean is that he will give you and he will give me the strength and the resolve to fight the battle and do what is right. And then the question becomes, do you trust him? So we've seen so far that we're not to fear because, one, God is sovereign. Two, he chose us. Three, he's with us. But it goes even more than just that he strengthened us. We are transformed and made ready for whatever we need to do for him. The Lord transforms us. Look quickly at the progression. If you go to verse 14 of Isaiah 41 to verse 16, it starts off like this, which is very interesting when you consider that this is about not fearing. And it says, fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Man, this passage is just so much about how God helps us. It's amazing. But notice how Jacob and Israel is described. They're a worm. You worm Jacob. A slug has no power. They can be stepped on. They have no defensive capabilities at all. I know that when you've done gardening, you probably picked up some worms and held it there, and it just kind of squirms, and you could squeeze it if you wanted to. I know when I was a kid and all those worms came up in the driveway after a rain and they kind of smelled, sometimes I'd step on them every now and then. Just don't tell anyone. They can't defend themselves. Worms are completely powerless. That's what he calls Jacob and Israel. But although they start as useless for the task at hand, notice how the Lord changes that. Verse 15. Behold, I make of you a threshing sledge, new, sharp, and having teeth. So from a worm, that's what they start as, and they're transformed into a threshing sledge. First question that everyone in Canada is going to be asking is, what is a threshing sledge? Well, I'll tell you. Threshing sledge was used in the harvest of wheat. It's a heavy wooded platform, has a whole bunch of sharp stones and metal underneath it, and then it's dragged over the wheat and the straw, and it chops it in order to get ready for the winnowing. So the board would pass over it and just pulverizes the wheat. Saw a video of it, and as it was going around and around, you could just see the wheat getting smaller and smaller as it gets pulverized. It's destructive. So it goes from a worm to a threshing sledge with new sharp teeth. And notice how nothing will stand before this transformed Israel. You shall thresh the mountains and crush them. You shall make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away. And the tempest shall scatter them. And you shall rejoice in the Lord and the Holy One of Israel. You shall glory. And again, it's not the fact that Israel is now this awesome thing that needs to get glory. No, the Lord still gets glory. But why? Because he has transformed Israel from a worm that can do nothing into a threshing sledge that is made for the purpose that the Lord has commanded. So the Lord will make you into whatever you need to be to do the task that he has given you. Focus on him. Trust him. He is faithful. That doesn't mean that we're all the same. No, it isn't. We all have different gifts, but notice that we are not worms. We're threshing sledges that are made by the Lord to do that task. So you may be coming and saying that you don't have the capacity or the strength or the ability to do what is right and stand for the truth. Well, the Lord has promised that he will make you into what you need if you're faithful. So be faithful. Consider Luke 12:11-12. I'll just read it for you. It says this. This is our Lord Jesus. So you can anticipate that you will be put on trial before the synagogues and religious officials. Don't worry how you'll respond. And don't worry how you should say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say at the moment when you need them. We are not to fear because we will be transformed to meet whatever trial the Lord will put our way. He is faithful. Do not be afraid. Focus on the Lord. He is sovereign. He is in control. He has chosen us. He is with us. He will transform us. Therefore, we're not to be afraid, but there is more. And you might think, well, if I do what is right, we'll be destitute. I won't be able to provide for myself or my family. Well, the final reason why we're not to be afraid in this passage is that we are not to be afraid because he will sustain us. He will sustain us. Look at verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. This shows that we are not to fear even when we are in need, maybe even especially. Talks about the poor and the needy, and they're thirsty, and they're parched, and they can't find water. And they're almost at the point of panic. But it says, do not fear because the Lord will answer them and he will answer you. It goes on to show that he not only answers, but he does so in abundance. Look at verse 18. I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valley. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will put in the wilderness the cedars of the acacia, the myrtle and the olives. I will set the desert and the cypress and the plain and the pine together. This shows the abundance of the Lord's answer. He will not just provide, he will provide in abundance. And we see that when our Lord Jesus points to the lilies of the field and says, if they are clothed, you will be clothed. Or the sparrows and says, if they are taken care of, you will be taken care of. He will take care of you. Therefore, do not be afraid. Trust in the Lord. This shows... Well, it finishes by showing that the ultimate reason we are not to fear is because of the Lord. Look at the end there in verse 20. That they may see and know and may consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, the Holy One of Israel. So there are those of you who are listening right now that have been off work, that have lost your jobs. Maybe you're on the verge of losing a business. You have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. Focus on the Lord. Trust in him and do not be afraid because he will take care of you. The Lord will sustain you. You are to work hard for his glory and then trust in the Lord and he will take care of you. We are not to fear. That's what we've been talking about today. Do not fear. No matter the circumstance, a Christian is to trust in the Lord and not to fear. That is the command from Scripture. And today we were given five reasons for this in Isaiah 41. The Lord is sovereign and in complete control. Trust him. If you are in Christ, he has chosen you. So trust him. He is with you and gives you strength. So trust him. He will transform you for whatever situation he has for you, and he will sustain you through it. We are to trust in the Lord. When we are feeling overwhelmed, in despair, like our foes are all around us, we must run to the Lord and trust him. He is faithful. And because he is faithful, we are not to fear. So church, do not fear. The Lord is with you.